Now, I promise Terry, no more false starts. I'll actually give you the mic and I'll stop talking. Give it up for Mr. Terry Monnelly. Liberty Bray, that was pathetic. Give it up for Terry Monnelly.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to be here. I'm originally from Finglas, so when you said Simon was going to take someone out, it meant something totally different to me. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He gets his hair from me. Right. My wife couldn't make it this morning, so I was able to have a break in the car on the way over from Cavan. My wife couldn't make it this morning. My other young fella is a bit sick. So that's just parenting. You'll all understand that when you have kids. Right, I'm going to talk about back to base camp this morning. Anyone that doesn't know me, just a quick bit about myself. I'm Terry Munley. I'm from a small, quiet place over on the north side of Dublin called Finglas, you might never have heard of. I grew up over there. I kind of got dragged up. I'm married, have two kids. My wife is from Burkina Faso, country in West Africa. So my wife is a different colour to me, just so everyone understands. And my kids are a different colour to both of us. All right? Is that the best way to put it, my kids? What they say in French is, my kids are café au lait, which is milk chocolate. All right? But my kids like milk chocolate, so they'll accept that. Whatever God brings together, no man can separate. You know, I had to go to Africa to find a wife. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord, you know? And I did, I found her. But it's not about colour, it's about love. And I don't want to get too emotional. She's not here. I can say all that when she's not here, you know. All the lovey-dovey stuff. Right, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes 4. If you have a Bible with you, if you have it on your phone. If you can't turn off your phone or turn it on silent. I was at a funeral there a couple of months ago, and a phone rang during the funeral, which was very embarrassing because it was actually the priest's phone. So he'll never live that down, that bloke, man. But anyway, God is good. I'm going to talk a little bit about teamwork, about working as a community, and about not getting into a place of isolation this morning, because isolation brings something called desolation. Okay, can you all hear me at the back? You can say, hello, can you all hear me? Amen. Put your arm down, there's a bit of smell coming back. All right, praise the Lord. Oppression, right? Toil, friendliness. Again, I looked and saw the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Powers was on the side of their oppressors. Wow. And they had no comforter. Okay, praise God we have a comforter this morning. Amen. And I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living who are still alive. And it's terrible. People sometimes think they are better off dead. Wow. Okay. And I declare that the dead who have already died are happier than the living who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not yet been, who has not yet seen the evil that is done under the sun. And I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. Wow. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. This is a great little phrase here. The fool folds his hands and ruins himself. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. Like some people have everything and they're still not content. Because money won't make you happy. But if you give me a few quid after, I'd see how I get on. No, money won't make you happy, guys. You know, it's not the center. You see things going on in the world that are absolutely unbelievable. And sometimes when you get money, you want more. I'm from Dublin, but I'm living in Cavan. And, you know, when I moved down to Cavan, one of the things they say about people in Cavan is that they're mean. You know, so as soon as I moved down there, people saying, have you become mean? But it's just a thing that we put on different people from different parts of the country. They're probably not mean, you know. Now, maybe they are, you know what I mean? But it's just a funny thing that we put on at different people in different parts of the country. You wouldn't wash me car when you're finished, would you? Oh, How's it going? You all right?
Right, I'll hold the mic in a second. When I read this, I'll hold it. All right. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. With his eyes were not content. With his wealth, for whom I am toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Here's the bit. Two are better than one, right? Because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man or woman who falls down and has no one to help them up. If two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But who can keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken.
Praise the Lord. Or just realistically, you often hear that preached at a wedding. Two are better than one. And it's something that we use at a wedding, but it's not just for weddings. That wasn't written just for weddings. It was about fellowship. You need people. And the more you recognize it, you need good people. You need honest people. I remember Noel Kenny years ago telling me things I did not want to hear, you know. So I let go of his hair and we got over it, I know. But he was telling me things I didn't want to hear. And the reality was that wounds from a friend can be trusted. Sometimes the people the closest to you will tell you things that you mightn't accept from everyone else. And sometimes we need to hear it. And that's what life really is all about, you know. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Okay? So guys, no matter what you're going through this morning, whatever the circumstances are in your life, whatever place you think you're at, don't isolate yourself. It's one of the biggest downfalls we have that plays into the hands of the enemy. Don't isolate yourself. Okay? Isolation brings desolation. Okay, I'll go into just a bit of a story here. There was two guys, and they were in a situation where they wanted to conquer a mountain in Peru. It was part of the Andes, and it was 1985. And these two guys were climbers. They were ambitious guys, and they wanted to climb this mountain. And it hadn't been done before. So probably some people thought it was unachievable. These guys had belief in who they were. They believed it was achievable to conquer this summit. So they took it on, climbed the summit. They left the guy in base camp, minding all their stuff. They prepared for it for about a year or whatever the case may be, and they climbed that mountain. It took longer because of the snow, storms came in, all of that to hit the summit, but they reached it. Now, because it took longer, they used up more of their supplies, and you'll bring the minimum of supplies with you when you don't need to carry any dead weight. And that's the way it is if you're climbing a mountain. The reason I say that as well, which I didn't put in my testimony, when I was about 21, I was in trouble in Ireland, and I went out of Ireland and joined the French Boy Scouts, also known as the French Foreign Legion. So I spent some time with the French Army when I was younger. And you don't carry dead weight. So they had a guy in base camp where they prepared for it. They took off from there, took them longer. They used up more of their supplies. So they knew when they hit the summit, they were celebrating. The time of celebration had come. The two friends stuck their flag up, forced people to climb this face of this mountain. But on the way back down, they had an accident, and one of the guys broke his leg, and his tibia got crushed up into his knee, okay, on the way down. Guys, sometimes we hit a place of celebration, and on the way down, we can have a place of devastation, but you can stay there and move on, but you always have to get back to base camp, all right? So these guys had conquered it. They'd done the task. They'd reached the situation they wanted to reach, which was a summit. Coming back down, place of devastation. So what they had to do in the circumstance was, as the weather was getting worse, they had two ropes, 150 feet ropes each. So they tied the two ropes together, and one of the friends had to lower the other friend down 300 feet of the slope at a time. So he'd lower him down 300 feet. Your man had stopped there. He'd climb down to him. Then he'd lower him again 300 feet, stop there. Then he'd climb down to him. And as they were going through it, he lowered his friend down a certain amount, but a storm started to hit while he was lowering him. So he couldn't pull his friend back up. And when the storm hit, he couldn't contact his friend because his friend couldn't hear him. So he lost his footing on the mountain, and he was starting to slide himself as he had the weight of his friend on the ropes. And he ended up stuck there for over an hour.
He ended up with frostbite, this guy, and offered up the whole situation in his hands. And he ended up stuck there. And he knew he couldn't pull his friend back up. And his friend couldn't climb back up with a broken leg. So he had to make a decision. So his decision was, he cut the rope and was devastated. But it was either if he goes, the two of them are going to die. If he cuts the rope, at least he knows he's alive. But he cut the rope. The storm that was coming in, he had to stay on the mountain. He stayed on the mountain overnight and then had to climb down and look for his friend. Couldn't find him. So he continued looking for his friend for a period of time and then ended up going down to base camp. They were there for a couple of days. They had about 3 days on base camp with the other guy that was it. So he was in a place of mourning. Couldn't believe he's after killing his friend Simon. So what realistically happened was the guy Simon that was cut on the rope fell down through a cavity and landed on a rock face, but he was still alive. And he had to crawl for 3 days to get back to the base camp. He'd no water. He'd no food. But he made it back miraculously to base camp in 3 days. The lads at base camp, I'm not trying to slag off friends or anything, but the other guy, Joe, that was with him and the guy at the base camp, they'd burnt his belongings because they didn't think he'd make it. And they'd actually burnt his belongings and he crawled into the base camp and he arrived just hours before they were actually leaving the base camp to go home. You know, to mourn and to sort out a funeral for someone that was dead that you didn't have a body for. But he made it back. And it's called Touching the Void. They made a documentary about it. And it was a film that was brought out a couple of years ago and it was a big hit. Your man wrote a book on it. And for 10 years, they didn't speak after the situation. And even when they were making the movie, they weren't the best of friends. As you can probably understand, you know what I mean? It's one thing me getting back, but you've burnt all me stuff. You know, what's the story? You know what I mean? Huh? It's bad enough, you know? Probably his identity, passport, everything had gone, you know? Because they gave up on the bloke. But he made it back to base camp. You know what, guys? In our life, guys, people can give up on you. And you can feel isolated and fall out with people, even in the church and people in life and all of that. Guys, you need to get back to base camp. Because base camp will be still moving on. And if you don't make it back, you're going to be left in the place of isolation. And then when you get back to base camp, you have to overcome what's going on in your mind. And that's the battle of the renewing of your mind. And if you look through details as somebody that knows the Lord, when you have Jesus Christ in your life, you ask him to be your Lord and Savior. You make a contact with him and you have that encounter. Guys, you're not in a place where you should ever be alone. Amen. You always have somewhere to go, someone to call on, someone there to confront you as much as show compassion for you. And we need that in God. We need that in one another. And we need that in friendships. And you don't even get that sometimes. Families fall out. Do you ever go to a funeral when there's things going on about something that's left over, like a house? But you know what? God is the center of everything. The cord of three strands is not easily broken. And that's you with your friends, with people around you, with the Lord entwined in your life, in your relationships, in your connections. And we need that. If you look through the scriptures, when you go into some of the situations that happened, you know, if you look at Abraham, he had a nephew. Lot, he was what we would say in Dublin, he was a bogey. All right, he was up to no good. He was up to his own thing. He looked out for himself. He had the missus with him, and he wanted to live off his own, off the land in a certain area, and he moved into that area. But there was a couple of kings, 5 kings in the area, joined up armies, and they went and took a couple of the cities in around where Abraham was living. And Lot was caught up in all of that because he was living in one of the cities. And he was taken a hostage into a situation. And Abraham, even though he was related to Abraham, and Abraham could have been frustrated with him for walking out and some of the things he was up to, but he was family. Abraham took it personal. So what does Abraham go and do? He goes and gets a load of soldiers. There's about 318 soldiers he amassed, and he went down into the situation. They were trained men, all of the same household, it says in the scriptures. So they were all connected, of the one mind, of the one spirit. And they went out and took on the armies that had gone in and desolated five cities. Four kings and armies and 318 men with Abraham went. In the darkness of night, had a plan, and he set Abraham free. He brought him back, and he was in a place of freedom. Guys, are you in a place of freedom this morning? Are you in a place of knowing where you're at in God? Are you in a place of the breakthrough? Are you living in hostage to circumstances in your own mind, in your own mindset? Are you even living in a place of negativity for who you are or what you can achieve or what you want to be? Because you need to get around people that are of the same household, of the same family, that won't give up and leave you on the ledge. Will stay there for you, won't burn your belongings and say, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. Guys, in life, some of us experience that. I'm from a family of seven. I have one brother, three sisters still alive. Two of my brothers are dead. My father left when I was 7 years old. Didn't even have a relationship with the man properly. When my two brothers died, my father turned to comfort in this world called alcohol. The comfort he turned to was Southern comfort. And he ended up devastating my whole family. See, as a fractured wound near the head, it goes through the whole body of a family. And I remember me ma would be out walking in a hotel, the Skyline Hotel. She was walking in the mornings and the evenings to make money. And at that time, like, I look older probably than you think. I'm 45. You probably thought I was about 25, 30, you know. Give or take, 31, 30. But at that time in Ireland, a woman had no right. If a woman needed to get a television on higher porches even, she needed a man's signature. Her house in Finglas was signed off by my dad, who was not working, didn't have a job, and was an alcoholic. But my ma had a job, but her signature didn't mean a thing at that time in this country. So it was a devastating time for my family. My mum would work, and my dad was supposed to go down and pay the bills, and he'd go to the bookies, you know, and take the risk of the gamble that, I'll get the money back. And he was living his life in the saddle of a jockey. He'd go to a pub and the way he'd sit there and wait to hear what came in. And you lived in a place of desolation. It affected our whole family. You didn't have food. My mum used to bring home stuff from work. And we used to go to school. I remember going to school eating them Rye Vita, the cardboard kind of biscuits, because she used to get them free in our job. You know, little sachets of jam. And it was a fracture with one person in the family affected everyone. Okay, me two brothers, Dave and Alan, died. But guys, if you're in a place where people are looking at you, you have to stay the role model. You have to realize that what you do affects other people around you. And as you suffer, it makes others suffer. And I remember going, you know, and I often tell the story, like, I ended up starting to get involved in crime, petty crime. You know, I didn't go to the Irish school of motoring. You know, we used to go out with a windscreen wiper off a mini, and you used to be able to steal a car. And you drive around, and you couldn't drive, but you thought you were flying up the road in fourth gear for about half an hour. Didn't know how to change the gears, you know. And, you know, all the smoke coming out the back of someone's car. Did you see me building past him? And someone would go past on the bicycle, you know. But that's the way you were, you know. I remember going into the back gardens of people's houses and stealing clothes, you know. Someone that you knew living around the corner, you were wearing their football jersey the next day. Oh yeah, like my new top. How's it going? You'd be in town robbing shoes outside shops. They were always the left boot. You'd have two left football dudes playing football in school. But it was just the way we were brought up. And it was survival. It was the way where it was their base camp. You did what you had to do to survive. But it was a place of isolation. I remember having to go see a priest because I was in trouble for fighting and different things. Drugs didn't that much appeal to me. I tried out stuff and messed around and used to drink cough bottles and all that kind of stuff. And that's the way it was when we were kids back then. You never had the flu. But I remember looking back, like, we were more into crime and robbing and fighting and different things. And It was a fracture in one person affected everybody else. And I had to go see a priest, and he says, you'll probably be an alcoholic, it's in your genes. So he says, I'll never wear jeans again. I didn't understand what he was talking about. Because you end up believing things that are actually spoken into your life. And you end up saying, I'm going to settle for that in my life. I'm from Finglas. I'm from something that the world calls dysfunctional. And something the world calls that you'll never make it past this point in your life, because you aren't meant to go past that point in your life. But God had a plan and a purpose for my life, but I didn't know then. I ended up in trouble in Ireland. I had to leave the country, and I went to France and joined the French army, and I was a soldier in France. And I still speak French, and my family all speak French. It's God turns things around. God used things for the good for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's unbelievable. I came back after being in the Foreign Legion. My dad died when I was over there, and they wouldn't even let me home for his funeral when I was over there. I wanted to go and go to the funeral. I hadn't seen him from the age of 7. I was probably about 22 when he died. And I never even made it to the man's funeral, you know. But he was sick. He had a sickness in his own head, and he had a disbelief. And he fractured, and he settled to stay on the ledge. Well, I'm a dad now, my father. And I didn't know what the role model was. And all the role models in my neighborhood were women bringing up kids on their own and men walking out on them. And I had to make a decision that if I wanted to be a dad, I had to find out what it was. But I definitely knew what it shouldn't be, because I've seen all the bad things. But when I came back from France, I ended up meeting Noel Kenyon. Went to a flat down in Dalton's Barn. Noel was living in Dalton's at the time. Noel took me in, and I lived in the flat at the time. And there was a prayer meeting on. Noel prayed me. I asked the Lord into my life and had an encounter with God. The room in the flat was the size of the Jackson. There was about 30 people at a prayer meeting, and then there was a fire lighting. I thought I was in the sauna. I says, next week I'll come up in a pair of shorts or something, you know what I mean? A pair of Speedos. Great to laugh, guys, man. Joy of the Lord is our strength, you know? But I had an encounter with God, and I had an encounter with people that weren't going to burn my belongings. They weren't going to give up on me. I say, we leave him on the ledge. It's all right. He's gone. And these are the people we need to be around. The people that won't burn your belongings, sir. Even your past that you don't want to talk about or don't want to look back on. It's still your past, guys. I can't change things. I've done crazy things, even in the army. I've done terrible things. But I know I'm forgiven, because I've given it up to him. And he moves you on to the next place and the next place and the next place. And what he had for me, I lost my driver's license when I came back. They had to look at my history and different things, because I had to go to court. And I was in court and everything still. Even when I came to know the Lord first, and I got in trouble in the country. And I ended up getting away with things. And the Lord just had the things directed for me. I wasn't allowed to drive for a while, because I still had to deal with my past. And then I ended up in Bible college. You know, I got kicked out of school. I said, Jane, I'm going to Bible college, you know. You have to wear the uniform. But I went to college. When I was there, I had an opportunity to go to Africa. It was a bit bizarre how it happened. But I had a bit of a dream. I couldn't get this dream out of my head. And I was on a roof, and the sun was shining. I was fixing this roof, and it was really sunny, so I knew it wasn't Ireland. So then I met someone else, Tony Page, at the time. He's passed away, Tony. He was a real role model for me, and believed in me, you know. And he said to me, I had this dream the other night. And I said, did you? He says, yeah, you were on a roof. He says, and the sun was shining, you were fixing the roof. And I said, yeah, he wasn't in bed or something with me. Well, you weren't in my gaff, were you? Because the exact same dream I had. And you know the way you put a wall up and you use your sense of humor to laugh at things, and you're saying, that's amazing. And he says, you were in Africa. And I said, wow, that's amazing. How'd you spell Africa? But I says, that's amazing. And a team of people, within a couple of days, a team of people came into the college in Greystones, and I got an opportunity with them. They were Americans. They were going, the year later, they were going to Africa. So I says, Jane, you'll go. I think I meant to go with these, because I started having a dream, and someone else had a dream, and I really felt, Jane, I'm going to go with them to Africa. Do a bit of work for about 3 weeks, you know. So then your man told me I had to find money to go. I'll have to go rob a load of stuff or something. But the money came in out of the post office with a handgun and no. But God blessed me. I got to go to Africa, and I was up on a roof. And the sun was shining, I was fixing the roof. And it was a dream came into fruition, and I couldn't believe it. And one of the guys that was with us from America says, I'm going to pay for you to finish your degree in college. So I said, that's great, going to America. But then I found out I was going to Africa to do the degree. So I stayed in a country called Togo in West Africa, and I done my studies there. And half my studies were in French and half were in English. And it's funny, I learned French when I was training in the army to kill people. And God had me going back to college, using a language to go and give life to people. And I ended up in Burkina Faso, and I ended up in Niger and a couple of different countries, Northern Ghana as well, which is English speaking. But while I was there, I wrote about a tribe called the Fulanis. They're a nomadic, semi-nomadic tribe. And I ended up having to go and stay with them for no toilets, no running water, no electricity for a couple of weeks at a time. And they started to come to know the Lord. They were an Islamic people, and over 80 of them converted. We started a church, and it was amazing. Someone asked me, how did I reach that people? But they asked me to write a book about it, my strategy. I didn't have a strategy. I used to just go down and have a bit of crack with them. And they all started to get saved. And it was mad, saying, this is mad. But it was God's plan and purpose for my life. And then I met my wife over there, and I fell in love. Well, she kind of fell by me first, you know. But I fell in love with Sylvie, and it was amazing. I've had an amazing experience. And my wife's father, he's a minister of about 3,000 in his church in Togo. And he accepted me into his family, and there's me showing up with an accent like mine from Finglas, and, you know, covered in tattoos. you couldn't have written it better, you know, a script. But he accepted me in, and that's 15 years ago. And since I came back from Africa, we're still involved in putting kids through school, and we go over to a tribe called the Tuaregs up the north of, close to Mali, on the border of Mali. And but now I'm a teacher. In the last 8 years, I'm teaching a school in Crumlin. And my ma's so embarrassed, she tells everyone I'm a drug dealer. But now I'm a teacher. And it's funny that when I look back on life, like I got kicked out of school, and I'm dyslexic, you know. I always drive at the wrong speed. I'm dyslexic. And the coppers never believe that when I say it to them, you know. You're doing 210 kilometers an hour. I says, that's not what it said. No, he says 120. No, anyway. But guys, what God has for you, the first battle you have to win is yourself. You have to get to a place of looking in the mirror and saying, I have to start believing in me. Yeah, but your dad walked out, you know, dad left. And that goes into your head and the whisper, you know, the whisper. You say, but I have to start believing in me. And then you have to get around a couple of people that say, well, I'm starting to believe in you. I think you can do it. I think you have, you know, something there, man. I think with God on your side, you can achieve it. Look, I finished a degree last year and I got a master's in DCU. And I was going to UCD for ages because of my dyslexia. But it was supposed to be in DCU, you know. I was going to UCD forever. But, like, even in class where everyone that sounded using different words to me and they sounded more intelligent and all, I made it and I passed and I got my honours in it. And I've done it now. And I was only actually doing the studies for the job I got 8 years ago last year. So God gave me favor to become a teacher before I was a teacher. And I didn't even go for an interview for that. I ended up kind of falling into the job, you know, because there was a load of kids in the school they couldn't control, and they asked me to teach them French. So I went in and battered them all. And they were all great for me then. I know. But, kind of, I know. But God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And you have to get to a place of getting around people that will encourage you and inspire you to go on and be that person you're meant to be. If you have a sense of humor and you're a laugher in your joke, God will use that. Don't change. When you come to know the Lord, man, you don't join a club. It's about a new beginning, a new start, a freshness in your life. But it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your gender. It matters about you and your relationship with Him first and foremost. And what He has for you. The Serengeti is a vast piece of land in Africa. It's about 2.5 times the size of Switzerland. It's a desolate place some of the times of the year because it's a desert. But there is some amount of wildlife living on it. We all know about the wildlife, I know. But the wildlife, there's some amount of wildlife living on it. And for a part of the year when it comes to the dry season, as the dry season sweeps across that land, the animals have to move from one side of the land to the other. Because as the dry season hits the land and things dry up, it's about survival. And they lose out all the food off the land that they're going to eat from plants, vegetation, it all dries up. So if you don't move with it, you're dead. But you know what happens? The lion hunts the animals during that time as they're on the run and trying to get from watering hole to watering hole to watering hole before it dries up. And how the lion works is he'll isolate one animal and he'll go in a pack and take that animal to the side and devour it. The isolation brings desolation and assassination. If you ain't got yourself in the right place with the pack, stay close to the pack. Stay close to the leaders. Don't drift off to the side. Two are better than one. If one falls down, goes through a circumstance, has a breakdown, has a frustration, has an issue, has a situation, the other person is supposed to be there to help you up. Are you being helped up today? Maybe you're today the person that's supposed to be picking the other person up. So there's two roles to be played. What role are you playing? Bad company corrupts good character. If you hang around with the wrong people, man, you become the wrong person. And as people hang around with you that are the bad people, you become the bad person, you'll bring more people into that group. Are you a recruiter? When you leave church, it's great to be in here. Worship. Praise the Lord. Listen to a message. How are you functioning when you leave and cross the threshold into life that is outside? I love my job. I work with kids that other people that I work with would even say will not make it. But I cannot say that because I made it. So I don't become a recruiter for the negative teacher. I become an uplifter for the student. I remember going through lists of names of who shouldn't make it and here, put that name on the list. That kid's a bogey. Watch that kid. You have to decide to crumple up the list. Throw the list out. Because one time my name was on a list like that. And maybe someone else's here was. But Jesus Christ had a plan and a purpose for Terry Munnelly. He intervened. He broke the system. He took me off the ledge. He brought me back to base camp. None of my stuff was burnt. Guys, none of your stuff is burnt this morning. Don't stay on the ledge. Don't let anyone cut the rope. Don't let anyone leave you in a place of desolation. Move with the dry season. Move with the pack and never become a recruiter. Do you all understand that? Right, let's just pray. I have to finish up with that. I need coffee. I know. I have to finish up. I love you, Lord. How great you are, Father. Lord, we recognize that two are better than one, Lord. I just pray for every single person in this room, Lord. I just pray for breakthrough, breakout, breaking the mold, breaking connection. Break. Give us a break, Lord, in our lives, Lord. I pray anyone in this room, Lord, that needs favor in a circumstance, Lord, I pray favor into their life, Lord. I pray, Lord, anyone that needs favor into a circumstance, Lord, whether it's employment, studies, just into their future for the next stage of their life, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that piece of paper will be signed off, Lord, in the spiritual place, Lord, that gets them to the next place. I pray anyone that has doors closed, they will stop trying to get through the door, Lord, and move on to the next phase of their life. Lord, we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. I just pray for renewal and freshness. But most of all, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we become the person, Lord God, that is helping someone up, not looking to be helped up all the time. I pray to be great people in this room, Lord, that have wisdom, discernment, and knowledge, Lord, to deal with the circumstance. Hear me prayer, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I'll give it back to you.